We're looking at the importance of prayer, and we looked last time at God's command for us to pray, but the other side of this is certainly as important, and that is God is willing to answer prayer. Not just willing, in fact, to hear it, that's important enough, but to answer prayer. The passage that I'd like to examine tonight is Luke 18, 2 through 7. Jesus is telling a story. The story has a moral to it. It's a parable. You know the word parable? It's parabolos. It's to throw, balo, like a ball, to throw para alongside. So it's two thoughts. There's the story he's telling, and then the meaning beside it, and you see the parallels. So Jesus says this, saying, there was in a city, the Greek here, in a certain city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Don't you hate that kind of judge? He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care what God says. And from a seedier part of town, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Take a stand for the law for me. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She wouldn't give up. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Evaluate this. He's going to answer her prayer just because she didn't stop asking. And then he says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It's an interesting comparison. This is some contrast as well as a comparison. Albert Barnes puts it this way. First, a poor widow, by her perseverance only, obtained from an unjust man what otherwise she would not have obtained. Perseverance. Two, God is not unjust. The meaning of the story, God is not unjust. He is good and disposed to do justice and to bestow mercy. If, therefore, this wicked man, by persevering prayer, was induced to do justice, are we having trouble? If, therefore, this wicked man, by persevering prayer, was induced to do justice, how much more? This is the contrast, you see. How much more shall God, who is good, and who is not actuated by any such selfish and base principles, do justice to them who apply to him. Christ's illustration says, if an unjust judge will help simply because he's pestered, how much more will God, who loves you and sacrificed his son for you, how much more will he help you? We see this from Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, think of that sacrifice, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yes, I'll give you my son, but you can't have that extra jar of peanut butter. That doesn't make any sense. William Reed Newell, he was the son of a preacher. He was a unsaved and, you know, bad sheep and all that stuff. And then he got saved and really turned to the Lord, has a wonderful commentary on Romans. He says this, he that even spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, this is the God who is for us, and this is the proof. If he was willing to give his son, we can't doubt but that he'll give us what we ask, if it's good for us. Remember how you felt, no, excuse me, I missed one. Barton Johnson's People's New Testament notes, "If he gave his son to die for us, it is impossible that he should refuse us anything that will help or bless us. He has nothing he values more than his son. If he gives the greater, he won't stint with the lesser." So I ask you to think about a time in your life. Remember how you felt when you gave a gift to someone who really loved it and appreciated it. The question here is, how does God feel about giving? Matthew 7, 9 to 11, Jesus, who came to tell us about the Father, said this, "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, 'Daddy, can I have some bread? I'm hungry.' Will he give him a stone?" "Here, son, take a bite of this one," you know? No. "Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more," there's our theme, see? "How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" John Broadus, living in the 1800s, being evil in contrast with the Holy God. We who are evil, contrast to God. Know how to give does not simply mean we are willing to give, but understand how to give judiciously and kindly. How to give properly, you see. So that the gifts are really good gifts. Pastor Porter has mentioned this a number of times when he was talking about love is giving. And he said, but love isn't indiscriminate. He doesn't give to the people begging on the street corner because that gift might be damaging them. They may be, you know, essentially lying that they have such a need and are wanting to spend it on difficult things. So is the gift really a good gift? The statement involves a disposition to give, and the term denotes judgment in giving. And in both respects, the argument from the less to the greater holds good. How much more will the Father on high, who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind, how much more will he give what is really good? It is a natural extension of the same argument to say that if we ask for something which we think to be good, but which he knows to be evil, he will withhold it, even as any judicious human parent must often do. I've told the story of walking into a bathroom. My little daughter Kathleen was holding my razor for shaving. And I shocked her, I scared her. I didn't want her to do anything. And I said, "Give me that," you know. And I took it away from her. And she began to cry. But was I being mean? You see, just any little wrong move, little fingers, little face could be hurt and scarred, bleeding. It is really a part of the privilege of prayer that God will withhold if he sees best. Were this not the case, the wisest and best persons might often be slowest to ask. For they know, the wisest and best people know, how often their judgment as to what is best has proved erroneous. Well, I thought that would be a good thing. But as it is, we may ask without apprehension for whatever we think is best, and our perfectly wise and perfectly kind Father will give that, or something which he sees to be better. So again, the theme, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I just wanted to share this with you tonight, the idea being that God not only commanded you to pray, to ask him, but there is this great willingness on his part to use prayer to meet needs. God will take care of us, we know that. Why then go through this process of prayer? Does he need to be informed what we need? No, this is going back to walking in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God saying, Adam, where are you? This was not asked for God's information, but for Adam. What are you doing? What's happened with you, you see? You need to tell me. He wants us to see that he meets our needs. Therefore, we ask. By asking, we set it up to where when we get it, we're thankful. Otherwise, we just have the tendency to say, oh, well, those things just happen. It's just natural. We get what we want. We get what we need. He says, no, that's me giving it to you. So as we go to prayer tonight, we want to remember this, that we're speaking to a God who is excited, perhaps more excited than we are, about giving us what we need, sharing with us what his love is all about.